Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session.
Welcome to the Selling the Couch podcast, where our goal is to help you achieve your counseling private practice dreams. And now, the man whose first car was a 1989 maroon Toyota Camry, psychologist and podcaster Melvin Varghese.
Oh, wow. That brings back such fond memories. So that Camry was the first car that my parents bought after we had immigrated to the U.S. And I just remember the amount of pride that my parents had in being able to make such a large purchase like that, especially being in a new country. In fact, I drove that car. That was my first car when I got my license. And I drove that car, I would have to say, everywhere. But when we sold it, I believe it had close to 200,000 miles on it. So in fact, it probably wouldn't surprise me if it's still running around somewhere. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's session of the Selling the Couch podcast. Whether you are in between sessions or working out or just on a hike or anything like that, thank you again for just your support of the blog and the podcast. So one of the questions that I have been thinking about this week is, how do you build a sense of trust on your private practice website? So I think we think about this idea of trust and rapport in the context of therapy all the time, right? So when a potential client calls, how do we answer that? What do we say? Or when they're in the waiting room for that first session, how do you make them feel comfortable and connected to you? And so I think a lot of times, we are really great at thinking about it in the context of us as clinicians, but I wonder how often we think about it in the context of when we actually have a private practice website. So that was my motivation in inviting today's guest, whose name is Becky DeGrosa. Becky is a therapist based in Colorado, but she also helps mental health providers to build websites that are easily found in search engines like Google, but also build a sense of trust with clients. And so some of the things that you will be learning by the end of this session include things like the top ways to build trust on your private practice website. And then we'll also explore the other side of it, which is some of the things that any of us can do often unintentionally and to build a sense of mistrust and then what you should do instead. And finally, we'll end with our this idea of testimonials. And how do you get testimonials? Who do you get them from? What are the best ways to get testimonials? And what should testimonials say that pique the interest of potential clients or people that could refer clients to you? So here's my conversation with Becky DeGrosa. Becky, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Melvin. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this topic because I think it's something that we don't think about a lot. You know, the emotional connections and how we can even build trust on a private practice website.
Yep, it's a big topic and I could probably talk about it all day.
we'll try to condense it all into 20 or 25 minutes here.
Yeah. Too bad.
Right, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of times therapists in private practice, when they think about like building trust or building rapport, they think of it in one of two ways, right? Like either once a client is in the therapy room or when that first like phone contact is made. Tell us a little bit about this other way of thinking. Now, why, what's the reason a private practice website would actually be a great way to build trust?
Well, it's really interesting. I think that, I think we can't actually build a ton of trust immediately on the first visit to a website, okay? Because if you just think about trust, trust is something that is just naturally built over time.
Right.
And yeah, and so we need to actually first get their attention, which a lot of us do a horrible job of. We don't get the potential client's attention first when they come to our website. If we can get their attention, then they're automatically going to stay longer on our site, which will then enable them to get more of a sense of us, feel impacted by what we have to say, and then eventually create trust.
Okay, so what I hear you say is like there has to be this process, and we have to do things intentionally on the site to actually grab attention. And the more attention that people have, the longer they're likely to stay on the website. And that staying longer is what actually leads to that sense of building trust.
Yes, definitely. If they bounce right away, which is, you know, the online term for somebody coming to your site and leaving, right, then there's no chance for you to build any trust. And I actually have a system where I encourage people to actually build an email list of their visitors so that they can continue to build trust over time, because it is a time necessity to build real trust.
Yeah, right. And the other thing I think is you get a much better and higher quality clients if you do it this way.
Yes, definitely.
So you said earlier, you know, what are the like real practical steps that you can take or that private practitioners can take to build that sense of connection on a private practice website?
Well, I think first of all, it's really kind of funny. I was thinking about this earlier. We spend so many hours studying to be therapists, learning about psychology and human behavior. And yet, you know, these questions you're asking, we don't sit down and ask ourselves these questions, right?
Right.
How do you actually make an impact on a website? What is the psychology involved? How do we improve the human behavior of somebody actually reading our stuff and then building trust over time and calling us? We haven't studied that very much. And luckily for us, billions of dollars have been spent studying that, right? In marketing and sales and copywriting and advertising. So if we can study those things, we're going to learn a lot about how to apply basic psychology to marketing our own practice.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we do in helping therapists build their websites is really help them get specific pages on their site that have to do with the issues that people are having.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And so like if somebody is depressed, don't just mention, hey, I work with depression and anxiety and ADHD and couples issues and all these million things. Don't just, mention that on your homepage, but actually have a page that goes into the details of depression and speaks with them very, very much in depth about what they're feeling, going through, how you can help, et cetera.
Yeah. No, that's such a great point, right? Because I think I think it's also a reminder that when people come to your private practice website, they enter through multiple doors, right? And you never know what that is. And especially if you have a certain specialty, it's always good to promote that specialty in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah, definitely. And to get into the details of it, you have to do that or they're just not going to feel met and you won't get their attention to have them stay.
Yeah, absolutely. What are, you said earlier that, you know, you've spent so many years studying this and trying to figure out, what behavior and just studying marketing and business. What are some of the things that you've picked up just from, that goes into actually creating that sense of connection on a website?
What I have picked up is that typically if you study copywriting, okay, what they do, a really good copywriter who's, you know, let's say someone's just trying to sell a better system for flying on an airplane or something like that, right?
Right.
They actually, good copywriters go and they hang out with people who fly a lot and they understand their pain, right? And so as therapists, we already have that right at our front door. There it is, right? We understand the pain already. But when we go to market on our site, we actually don't usually get in touch with that pain.
Yeah.
So yeah, it requires a lot of work and vulnerability actually, right? To actually feel those feelings. So we have something when we're writing marketing copy on a website, on a therapist website, where we do something called a dig deep exercise. And we work with the client to, with a therapist client, to actually dig really deeply into the issue they're trying to address. And so we have a dig deep exercise that's on my site. It's actually at counselingwise.com/dig-deep. And there's 11 questions that enable a therapist to really get into the heart of what is going on for the client, what the feelings are, you know, what the unspoken hopes and desires are and the biggest pain and all of that. And if they can do that and then come from that place with their marketing copy, they're going to make that connection. And it's going to be a much more impactful message.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely such a great point. I'll definitely link to that in the show notes. It sounds like such a great, just a great exercise for anyone to go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the things that I was also thinking about was, you know, a lot of times private practitioners go in and they create this website, and a lot of times they actually, unintentionally, I think a lot of times, do things to actually create a sense of mistrust. And so what are some of those things that, that therapists unintentionally do?
Yeah, I, you know, in my view, there's actually, that's not the biggest problem that people have. It's mainly that they're not connecting, but there are a couple of areas where they can create mistrust. And one of those areas is if they divulge too much about themselves. You know, where they're, you know, let's say that it's a, I don't know, let's say that they had a history of sexual abuse and they divulge too much about that. People can pick up lack of boundaries, and maybe they've had an experience where they've been helping other people more than being helped themselves, and they don't want to go into that situation with this therapist. So
it triggers too much.
Yeah, it triggers too much, and it's like, oh my gosh, I want to go to this person to get help for me, not to help them. So, you know, too much self-divulgence there is a problem, I think. And the other thing that I really caution people against is when you are looking at the whole idea of testimonials, you really want to get testimonials from professionals only, not from clients. And you know, it's a big debate within our field as to whether or not you can use unsolicited testimonials from clients. Yeah, and if you do, I think you want to really say this is unsolicited. A lot of people just choose to not even use those because reading client testimonials on a website could immediately have the potential client feeling, wow, if I go and work with this person, eventually they may ask me to share my story on their website. And I don't know that I want to do that.
Yeah, right. There's almost, that's such a good point. I didn't even thought of it that way. So somebody that comes on that's a potential client that has no relationship with you, and then they see an existing testimonial and they're thinking, oh my gosh, am I next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But really, you know, to get back to the whole topic of mistrust or distrust or whatever that could be created on a website, I don't think that that's usually the problem. I think the problem usually is that people are very general and boring. And so people just don't stay. They go find something more interesting, something that really hits them like, oh my gosh, you're talking about me. And that's what they want. People are fascinated with themselves, right? we all are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we want to see what's really going on for us mirrored back to us in enough detail that we can know that person gets it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And one of the sections he talks about is just having conversations with people. And one of the best ways to build a relationship is to get people talking about themselves.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we actually have a 7-point marketing message format that we follow where we, and I have a free training on my site about this as well, where we go through, you know, talking about the problem so that you're, you know, starting out with that, mirror back to them what's going on for them to really capture their attention. And then you go into a solution phase of, you know, offering them hope that you can help. You also don't want to go into gory detail about how you're going to help at that point. you just want to offer, hey, and I've seen this before, I can help. And then you go through these other various steps that kind of take the person through a buying process, if you will, which is ultimately what you're doing. You're really selling.
Right. Yeah. You're trying to sell yourself.
Yeah, you are. You're trying to sell yourself as a solution to their problem.
Right.
Yeah. And so we have training on that on the website too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely link to that as well. You know, going back to this, just that idea of testimonials, I wanted to kind of hear your thoughts about the other side of it. So more specifically, like real kind of concrete things, what have you found are the type of testimonials that seem to have the most impact, that seem to really kind of capture the attention of potential clients?
That's a great question. And, you know, a lot of people will just get the standard testimonial. You know, so Dr. So-and-so is very talented, you know, in working with clients. I refer to them all the time, right, or something like that. Or I sent a client to so-and-so and they did a great job with them.
It's
right.
Very
so yeah, very general, very predictable, not very impactful at all. And so what I actually teach is using something called a reverse testimonial. And I learned this from my copywriting mentor years ago. But the reverse testimonial is one where you're going to ask the person who's giving you the testimonial to kind of put their gears in reverse, go back to the beginning of the first time when they were about ready to refer to you or work with you in some way, and to identify the feelings that they were having at that point in time, specifically doubts or fears or, you know, some level of concern about referring someone to you. And it could also be maybe not you specifically, but just what are the general concerns that they have when they are about to refer a client to someone. And if they can get in touch with those feelings, then they can say, when I was about to refer my first client to so-and-so, I was concerned that there may not be a great fit between this client and this therapist. Or I was wondering if, you know, this therapist had enough skills to work with this client with this particular issue, or enough experience with this issue. And then what you do, so that's the whole reversal part. You get in touch with kind of where you were before you were ready to do it.
So let me just make sure I'm hearing you right. So really that first part, you have to get in touch with whatever that insecurity or that pain point is for somebody that's going to be a referral source. And you have to, and you got to identify it right there, right off the bat.
Yeah, because then people go, oh, I have the same concern, or this person's really serious because they actually had, you know, they had some concerns about doing it. And so that's the first part of the testimonial. And then you go into what I found was that, you know, this therapist was so skilled in helping this person. And it turned out better than I ever expected. And I will surely be confident in referring to them in the future, or something like that.
Something that kind of takes that pain point and then a sentence that alleviates it in a way.
Exactly. And there's, I have one client that has this great, great testimonial on her site, where it's a testimonial from a psychiatrist. She's a psychologist, and this one is from a psychiatrist. And he just starts out with, I'll just read you the first sentence. He says, "I listen carefully to what my patients have to say about their experiences with colleagues to whom I have referred them." So right there in that sentence, he's saying, this is really important to me. I check up on it. It really matters to me. You know, I don't refer with, you know, you know, casually. And so then when he goes in to talk about the feedback on her, he's already set the stage for how important
this
is.
Right, different than, you know, just someone else that's just going to casually refer.
Right. Yeah, so it's very impactful. It's much better than if he had just said, oh, this psychologist is great. It really sets the stage for making the testimonial so much more impactful.
Yeah, that's really neat. I hadn't even thought of it that way, into going into such detail like that. And then the other side, what other things can you do? It sounds like, so as we're talking, that testimonials, or like, do you recommend like some kind of a testimonial page, or how does that work? Or do you put it into kind of your about you section, or what do you suggest?
I think a testimonial page, or, you know, what my peers say or something like that is great. That's totally fine. Having something on the about page is fine too. But the biggest impact, I think, the place to put it to get the biggest impact is if you have it on the specific page about that specific issue. Right. Okay. Yeah. So if I'm, you know, let's say I'm depressed and I go to a therapist website and I'm reading this, and first they're mirroring back to me, you know, is your life, you know, a real drag, basically, right? I mean, they go into the details of all the things I'm struggling with depression, so that they get my attention. And then they go through the process of, you know, offering me hope and explaining, kind of normalizing depression so that I don't have to feel so crazy,
right? Like out there,
right? Yeah. So ashamed and afraid to go see someone. So they normalize it, and they kind of go through this 7-point process. One of the steps is kind of a testimonial step, or a proof step, or something like that in our process. And so it's not a proof in terms of we cure everyone who walks through our door, but it's a social proof one in which they have a testimonial. And so right there in the copy or in the sidebar on that depression page, they could have a testimonial from a peer from another professional, basically saying, you know, I was working with someone who had severe depression, and I didn't really know who to refer them to. I took a chance on so-and-so because I had heard really good things about them. And after talking with them, I felt that it would be a good referral. And sure enough, they did an amazing job. And that's who I send depression clients to these days. You know, something like that. And it's right there on the copy page that's treating depression. And so the person who is struggling with depression reads that, and they're just like, this is the expert for me.
You know, I was just thinking about this conversation we're having. I think the biggest thing is, like, on your website, I think you have to present yourself as human. And then there are just some very intentional steps that you have to take to make sure that you're communicating that you understand what a potential client is going through.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, that's another thing. You talked about people coming in through certain doorways on the website. You know, ultimately, we will create, you know, a depression treatment page, an anxiety treatment page, whatever the specialties are that the therapist has. And the idea is that if they rank in Google, they come in directly through that page, because that specialty page is the one that ranks. So they get to talk with us immediately, or, you know, engage with us immediately about their specific issue. And we're very compassionate. We're very tuned in to what they're going through. We provide them really in-depth information. And they can always also check out the about page after that. Most people go to the about page on a website after they have some interest, after you've already captured their attention. Yeah. They don't really care who you are until they know that you can help them. Yeah. And so they go there. And specifically on the about page, we do teach have yourself be human, right? Go ahead and talk about your experience and, you know, all your credentials and all those things. Don't spend too much time on those. But also do things like, you know, include a picture of you with your cat or with your dog or something like that. Or talk about being a parent, because those are the things that people relate to. They do want to see you as a human, and they want to relate to you.
You know, I think one of the things that you said earlier about social proof, and I think, you know, for the listeners that don't know what that is, it's kind of just a way online that you can establish your credibility. So it's done through kind of multiple ways. So if it's even a quote on a website, and then especially if you can, you know, if you have any kind of social media sharing links or anything like that, it's just a way to, like, instantly establish credibility.
Yeah. We tend to, there's been a lot of studies done on that we tend to do what other people do. right? We trust the fact that other people are saying good things, and we're more likely to, that feels like a safer decision to us. If somebody else has chosen it and speaks highly of it, then let's go do it too.
Becky, the last question I had was, so when you're creating these specialty sections, right, whether it's for anxiety or depression, do you create them as individual pages, or when you go on the website, you know, at the very top, you got the about, you know, maybe you have a blog, maybe like, do you put that up there as a section?
Well, if there's room in the top navigation bar to put the actual pages like depression counseling, anxiety counseling, whatever, then that's a great place to put it because it's very, very immediately visible which way to go. Often, depending on how many specialties a client has or a therapist has, there's not enough room up there. So we may have a navigation item up there called specialties that is a drop-down page,
okay,
right? So that the drop-downs are there. All of those are specifically listed. We may also have some kind of a visual at the top, and we do this often, especially for group practices, so that when the client comes to the website, they can immediately see maybe one of four groups or something like child counseling, teen, you know, families and couples or something like that. And you may have more pages within that, but you want to make it very clear within 1 second, really, where they want to go to find out what's there for them.
Absolutely. And I forgot what the exact number was, but, you know, people make impressions about whether a site's going to be helpful, I think, within like less than 20 seconds or something like that on a site.
Yeah. It's very, very, very quick. Yeah.
Becky, as we wrap up, is there anything else that you think that, you know, we may just not have covered just about building trust on a private practice website?
No, I think pretty much we have covered it. I think it's a system. We provide a system to do it because most people just kind of look around at other therapists and see what they do and say, oh, that looks kind of neat. I'll try that. And there's really no research behind it. And so we've kind of put together the systems to make that happen. And most of the therapists that I have trained follow it in the beginning. And then once they really understand what they're trying to do, then they have a little more leeway to play with it after
that.
That's
really great. And I'll definitely link to all of the things that you mentioned. Becky, what is the best way for potential, you know, new private practitioners to get in touch with you?
Basically, to just go to counselingwise.com. That's my website, and there, you know, I offer a 30-minute free consult if anyone has any questions about their marketing, and so they could just set that up right there on the homepage, schedule with me, and there's tons of information and webinars and videos and all sorts of things on our site.
Yeah, I've checked it out, and it's you have a lot of really, really awesome resources on there, so I encourage everyone to check it out.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Mark.
All right, Becky, well, it's really nice talking to you, and take good care, okay?
Okay, great talking with you too. Thanks for having me.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Becky DeGrosa from CounselingWise.com. You know, the biggest thing that I'm taking away from my conversation with Becky is that the process of building trust or rapport on your private practice website, it is definitely a marathon and not a sprint. That fact of what Becky said, that it takes like 7 to 12 interactions with someone before they kind of make a decision. That's really interesting. And it's something for you to think about, especially on your private practice website. So what are the different ways that you're building trust? What are the potential ways that clients or potential clients can interact with your website to help build that sense of trust? And then the other big thing is just about the testimonials and more specifically how to word them. So, you know, to be honest, like when I always think of testimonials, I always thought of it from a client perspective, getting them from former clients. And so, you know, and it made me think about sort of the legal and the ethical implications about that. And so I like that Becky presents it from another perspective of, you know, thinking about potential colleagues or people in the community that could be referral sources for you if they can actually provide those testimonials for you. You can find show notes to today's episode at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 7. And finally, everyone, if you could do me a huge favor and subscribe to this podcast and leave a rating and a review. It's definitely not an ego thing or anything, but for iTunes, that is the biggest way that the podcast can reach a larger number of folks. And so my real goal with this podcast is that it reaches anyone that ever aspires of having their own private practice one day or is currently in private practice. And subscriptions, ratings, and positive reviews play a big role in making that happen. And the easiest way to do that is to go to sellingthecouch.com/iTunes. And I've set it up where iTunes will open directly in your web browser. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.